Son's name we pray. Amen.
Good evening. The scripture reading this evening will come from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. That's Hebrews chapter 10. I'll be beginning in verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Let's sing the first verse of Standing on the Promises.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God was in the beginning of everything. Therefore, we this year have been striving to place God at the beginning of everything we are and everything we do. And in this month, we've been putting God at the beginning of our hope. And we recognize the reason we can put God at the beginning of our hope is because God has given us great and precious promises. Amazing promises that come by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we've recognized as we consider this hope that for us, hope is not wishful thinking. Oh, I hope I inherit $1 million. That's not what we're saying when we talk about hoping in the promises of God. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19 through 20, yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Eager expectation. Confident expectation. When we say we hope for God's promises, we're not saying we sure wish they were true. We're saying that we have eager and confident expectation that all that God has said to us and promised us, God is going to do. There are so many promises, we could probably spend the entire year looking at each of God's promises and not cover them all. We've just been able to look at four of them this month, four profound and precious promises. The promise of eternal life. In 1 John chapter 2, and verse 25. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 25. This is the promise that he made us. Eternal life. His promise is not a long life here on this earth. His promise is not an easy life here on this earth. His promise is eternal life. Life that is greater than what we experience here. Life that is more profound and more wonderful and more awesome than what we experience here. Life everlasting. And we recognize, as we talked about that, that the atheist's hope is a long and full life. How often do we hear that? Oh, it's okay that they died now because they had a long and full life. The great thing for Christians is whether we have a long and full life or a short and not so full life. Death is okay. Because the child of God has the confident expectation that God will in fact keep His promise and we will have eternal life. Praise God. We're going to sing a couple songs that you're going to help me teach this point. Brian's going to lead us in Sing to Me of Heaven. We're going to sing all three verses and then the chorus on that one. How beautiful heaven must be, and heaven will surely be worth it all. Will you please help teach one another about eternal life as we sing about that promise of eternal life in heaven?
Lighter and perhaps softer than we normally do. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Let's sing this song with great confidence. No.
Thank you.
Many of the promises are about eternity. Some of the promises are about right now. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, Paul writes, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able also to endure it." We're not tempted beyond our ability. God has made that promise. But is it not tempted beyond our ability because we're so amazing and awesome? No, it's not tempted beyond our ability because God has promised to provide the way of escape. God does not allow a temptation to come to us, except he has provided a way out of it. And we can praise God and we can honor God and we can glorify him because he wants us to overcome. We recognize that God allows us to face temptation. God has given us free will. And he has allowed the tempter to roam in this life. But he has stacked the deck in our favor. He has given us his Son to save us. He's given the Spirit to provide the Word of God that we can read and know how to bring honor and glory to him and how to overcome and how to be strengthened. And he provides the way of escape. What that means is we need to keep our eyes open. The way of escape is there. Sometimes we miss the way of escape, not because it's not there, but because we don't start looking for it until it's too late. Keep your eyes open. God has given you the path to avoid the tempter. May we overcome. May we be victorious, which, by the way, is going to be next month's theme in the beginning of our victory, God. But we can be victorious because God is working on our side. We don't have to forge the way of escape. We merely have to take the way of escape that God has prepared and provided. Would you help me teach this point as we sing some songs about temptation and about victory? Yield not to temptation. Faith is the victory. And let us always remember the battle belongs to the Lord.
Let's stand for the next two songs. Faith is the victory, and the battle belongs to the Lord.
Do mi so.
Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The promise that he gave to Joshua. He told Joshua, go through the land. Be confident. You will deliver this land to the people. Not because, Joshua, you're so awesome and your military strategy is so great, but because I am with you and I will not leave you. And there's two lessons that we learn from that promise that he gave to Joshua and that he's given to us. Without God, we cannot win. If God is not with us, we're not going to make it. But with God, we cannot lose. With God, we cannot lose. And we ask the question, how do I know that God is with me? Quite simple. When I'm doing what he says. When I'm doing what he says, God is with me. You know, it's not the issue, have I always done what he said perfectly? It's, am I doing what he says right now? That's the thing that we need to hone in on. As I'm about to make this choice that I'm about to make, am I going to do what God says? Because if I'm going to do what God says, he's going to be with me. Now, if I'm going to do something else, I can't expect God to follow me when I go off on my own. But when God is with me, I cannot lose. And the issue is not for us, will God ever leave us? Because he won't. That leaves it for us. Will we leave him? I suggest you don't. Stay with God. Do what he says. Why? Quite simply, because God's way works. I haven't said that in a while. Andrew said it this morning. Thanks, buddy. God's way works. Do what God says. He will be with you. And you have nothing to fear. When you do what God says, nothing to fear. Oh, that doesn't mean people won't do mean things and awful things to us sometimes. They will. But what is that? What man does to us? What is that compared to the glory that we have promised from God? Because he will not leave us. If there's a great example of that, it's those three friends of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You might know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. As Nebuchadnezzar threatened to throw them into the fire, and they said, you can crank the heat up on that thing. You can threaten us all day long. We're going to do what God says. And he can deliver us from that fire. But he will deliver us from you. Nebuchadnezzar didn't like that very much, and so he threw them in the fire. But when Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, do you remember what he saw? He didn't see three people, he saw four. Why? Because even in the fire, God doesn't leave. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Will you please help me teach this point as we sing, Abide with me, be with me, Lord, and I could not do without you.
We'll sing the first two songs with no break between.
no soul.
I could not do
we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Are there more comforting words? God has given us great and precious promises. He has promised that we have eternal life. He has promised us a way of escape. He has promised to be with us. And he has promised that Jesus is coming back. Jesus will return. He has not abandoned us. He has not left us. And there are some who would say that where is the promise of his coming? Peter would remind us that God is not slow, as some count slowness, but is patient. He is patient. He's been patient with you. Don't we thank God for his patience? Jesus could have returned before we repented. And yet, he was patient with us. And sometimes we look around at the sin that's going on in the world and we wonder why God hasn't done something about that yet. It's not because he's slow. It's because he's being patient with others as he has been patient with us. But rest assured, and you can take this to the bank, Jesus is coming back. And it will be a day of judgment and reckoning for those who have turned their back on him. For those who have mistreated his people and maligned his will. And for those who distorted and twisted his word. But for those who are in Christ, it is a comfort. This is not all there is. And we're not doing what we're doing here because we expect something about here and now. We're doing what we're doing here because we know there's a great day coming. A day when our Savior will return and his voice will be heard. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And we will be caught up in the air to be with him forever. I want that. Don't you? Jesus is coming back. We can take that to the bank. Help me make this point as we sing, I Stand Amazed. When we all get to heaven, and we shall stand before the throne.
So Tila.
Thank you very much for helping me teach the lesson tonight, reminding us of the promises of God in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. The scripture there explains, "But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better." Why is this covenant we're under better? Since it is enacted on better promises. Better promises. It's not the promise of a land over in the Middle East. It's a promise of a heavenly land. It's not the promise of a blessed life in a land flowing with milk and honey. It's the promise of eternal life. God is going to provide the way of escape. Let us take it. God is going to be with us. Let us be victorious because of His presence. And Jesus is coming back because of His resurrection. These are amazing promises. And so in Hebrews chapter 10, as we read earlier, "Since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near." The day is drawing near. Jesus is coming back. Allow me to ask you, have you let your conscience be sprinkled with the blood of Christ as your body has been washed with pure water? Baptism. Immersed in water. Not because it's this ritual that you have to check off, and if you've checked off this ritual, you're somehow special and better than everybody else who hasn't done it. But because it mirrors the burial with Christ. Because He has promised, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." Because He has promised to work in our baptism, to cleanse us of our sins, to fill us with His Spirit, to be with us, to have that relationship that we can have with God through His Spirit and through the blood of Jesus Christ. You can approach with confidence because Jesus has opened the way. He has given the promises. Will you stand on them? Will you rest your life on them? Will you anchor yourself on His promises? Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." Have you rested in that promise? We want to give you an opportunity tonight to do that. To place your feet firmly on the promises of God, on His work, by surrendering to what He has promised. I promise you, when you do what He says, He will be with you. I don't promise it. He promised it. We're going to sing two more verses of Standing on the Promises. And if you want to place your feet on those promises tonight, resting your life in the hand of God, being immersed in water and raised to walk in new life, having been buried with Christ and resurrected in Him, if we can help you with that tonight, we invite you to come forward to the front right now as we stand and sing these two verses of Standing on the Promises.